All right, as you find your seats, there's also a couple of other things for the month of December. Starting with, actually today, the young people will be going out with Sister Ruthie on an outing. So it'll be one of a few sessions throughout the year that we have for the young people only. So if you have young people that did not get the news, they will be going out today. Sister Ruthie and my wife and I, we're going to be taking the young people to, where are we going? What is it?
Jump around.
I guess we're going to be jumping around. Well, they will be jumping around. That's not, I will not be jumping around with them. So, for the month of December, pay attention to the calendar. The December 11, which is a Monday, and also December 18, which is also a Monday, we will be doing our Christmas caroling. What we do is we go throughout the different nursing homes and we sing carols to them. A couple of nursing hospitals around Chula Vista, around this area. If you sing, you like to sing carols, and if you play guitar or whatever you just like to sing, please come by December 11 and December 18. December 17 will be our Christmas luncheon. We'll be celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries. We'll have a potluck during the Children's Sunday at that time. And also, don't forget, December 24, the service will be 11 o'clock, and there will be no Sunday school and evening service. And then December 31, in celebration for the New Year's, we're also just going to have one service. So if you miss all the dates, this calendar will be posted outside. Take a snapshot of it. Take a picture with your smartphones or whatever you got to do. Okay? That's all I got. Brother Pat?
Okay, let's turn to number 519, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This will be our offertory prayer. Offertory hymn.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. Thou standest in, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new. Blessings all mine with 10,000.
So our next special is hot off the press. I was notified last night about 8 o'clock to put this in the bulletin. So we're going to hear from Brother Jerry and Camille. So this is a brand new song.
To hear their cause, I I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name
than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway.
First time I've heard him sing a special. Amen. That was a blessing. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Be reading from verses 14 through 23. Verses 14 to 23. If you are able to stand to honor the word of God, please stand. 1 Samuel chapter 12, just follow along with me. The Bible says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Then, notice he says, if, then, shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Verse 15, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto thy Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, that sounds familiar, huh? As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you, here's the title of our message. The title is The Good and the Right Way. The Good and the Right Way. Brother Johnny in the back, can you lift up your voice and pray for our message, Brother Johnny? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you for standing up as we read the Holy Scriptures. Verses 14 and 15, what I notice here in verse 14 is a positive. Notice it says, if you will hear, if you will serve him, if you obey his voice, and if you do not rebel, those are positive things. And that positive verse is reinforced by the negative in verse 15. Notice the similarity. Notice the contrast and the similarity between verses 14 and 15. I want you to pay attention to your Bible this morning, okay? Verse 14 and 15 are two opposing verses. Verse 14 is a positive verse. Verse 15 is a negative verse that reinforces the prior verse. Watch this with me. Verse 14 says, and obey his voice. Verse 15 says, if you will not obey the voice. Verse 14 says, not rebel. Verse 15 says, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord. You notice the contrast. Verse 14 is a positive, and verse 15 is a negative. Now, the Word of God does the exact same thing in verse 24 and 25 at the end of the chapter. Look at verse 24 and 25. Just a slide down, a couple of verses. Verses 24 and 25, watch this. The Bible says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. We've talked about that last Sunday. Remember? Consider how great things God hath done for you. But notice verse 25, once again, the contrast. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. The Word of God has this way of reinforcing a teaching or a point. Here we see him saying something in the positive in verse 14 and in verse 24 to be reinforced by something in the negative in verse 15 and in verse 25. And then verse 15 ends with the phrase that the hand of the Lord will be against you. No, go to James chapter 4 verse 4. James chapter 4 verse 4. Can God go against mankind? Is the question. Can God go against his people? Take a look at James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In other words, God can go against his people. And the way God would go against his people is when God's people is for God's enemy. If you are for the world, and the world is in enmity with God, well, then you become an enemy of God. There is no middle ground. People say, well, excuse me. Some people say, well, can't I live this world serving mammon and then serving God at the same time? Well, as a Christian, you know that you cannot live in between. The in-betweeners get in trouble. Amen? But one thing that stands out to me is, again, is this contrast. He says, if you will, but if you will, then will I. Huh. You know, there's in the Bible, you will find everlasting principles. And there are principles in the Bible that do not age, that do not end. One of these principles is the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is an everlasting principle. It did not end in the Old Testament. It does not end just because the law has been done away with. The principle of sowing and reaping still applies today. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. But the last phrase of Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What does that mean? Well, that is the principle of sowing and reaping. It was applicable in the Old Testament, and it is still applicable today. As a Christian, don't you ever think that nothing bad will happen to you when you sin? Your sins may have been forgiven, but the consequences of sin here on earth, when you choose to sin, while you are still alive, remains as a consequence. There are those that say, well, I am saved now. God has cleansed away my sin. God has cleansed my sin in the past. God cleanses my sin today. And God will cleanse my sin in the future. Yes, you are heaven bound. And nothing, not even, and no power on this earth can take away the love of God. You are saved eternally. But that does not mean that the principle of sowing and reaping has been done away with. As a Christian today, when you choose to sin, there is still a consequence in this current life. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, there are those that say, well, I am saved now. That gives me a license to sin. Because God has forgiven everything that I have committed and everything that I will ever commit. You know, the Bible says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's a principle of sowing and reaping. Go to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. James chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The penalty for sin is death. And not just spiritual death, but physical death. Look at James 1, verses 14 to 16. James says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But look at verse 16. Who is he talking to? He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, if there is no consequence, if sin has no more consequence here on this earth, when you as a Christian sin, why would James say, do not err, my beloved brethren? He said that because if you think as a Christian that there will be no consequence here on earth, why don't you go ahead and steal? Go ahead and steal. Commit theft or robbery. You think there will be no consequence? Oh yeah, there will be a consequence. How about you kill someone? Well, I'm saved now. Now I can kill someone and God has forgiven my sin of murder. Can you go ahead and go and kill somebody now that you're saved? Well, no. Why? There's a consequence for sin, for killing. Right? A tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. There's a consequence. Yes, you're saved, but yes, there will still be a consequence. What about this? When you harbor bitterness and anger, do you think that there is no consequence? Oh, there's a consequence for sin here on earth. Numbers 32 verse 23 says, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know, by the mercy of God, we are not consumed right off the bat when we commit sin. By the long suffering of God, when you commit sin, you are not consumed. You don't die right there and then. God's mercy endures and is everlasting. But sin will find you out. You may have done something wrong in the past and you're thinking, oh, I got away with it. No one ever knew. No one will ever find out. It's been buried, right? Everyone that knew about my sin had passed away, right? I said, no one will ever know. Oh, if you've lived long enough in this life, you can tell me, I'm only 38 years old, you can tell me that there is not a single sin in your life that you did not pay for. And that you are not paying for right now. And that you will not pay for in the next few years. Oh yeah, there's a consequence for it. There are Christians that struggle with smoking and drinking. They say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, right? I'm heaven bound. I have a home set in heaven. My sins has been forgiven. Oh yeah. But that cigarette will still burn your lungs and cause you cancer. That alcohol will still destroy your liver. Not to mention the finances and the broken homes and the domestic violence as a result of that. Amen? Take a look at verse 16 now. Notice Samuel's warning and reminder about God's judgment. In verse 16, he says, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. He said, is not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord and he shall send thunder and rain. Do you know what the nation of Israel was thinking about when they heard the words thunder and rain? I guarantee you they had heard about what happened to Noah. I guarantee you when they heard Samuel say that God will bring forth thunder and rain, the first thing that came to their mind is the flood. It was the flood. And Samuel said that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. I guarantee you they remembered what happened in Noah's time. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 6. Now, The experiences of the Old Testament saints in the past are there for us to learn. And that's what Samuel here is doing. Samuel is reminding them of how God dealt with mankind when they lived a sinful life. He destroyed mankind. So he brings to them in memory of Noah's flood to cause them to repent. Now, the Old Testament saints' life like I said, are there for us to learn. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul reiterates the story of the travels of the nation of Israel. In verse 6, he says, now these things were what? Our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Take a look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, now all these things happen unto them for what? For examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now let me make a statement. Bad decisions in the past are only bad when we do not learn from them. If you've ever done something wrong in the past and something that you regretted, let me tell you, you only regret about your bad experiences in the past, your bad decisions in the past, if you never learn from them. We all make mistakes. But the worst thing you can do to the mistakes that you've done in the past is to not learn from them and to commit them again. And then Samuel says, see that your wickedness is great. Now, when I was reading this verse, I could not help but to think about the heart of men. In Sunday school, I was talking about the hyper dispensationalist, the hyper Calvinist. You know, one of the things that the hyper Calvinists teach, and I agree with, is that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I laugh when I hear someone say, when they're giving an advice and they say, just listen to your heart. Like when you can't decide on a matter, listen to your heart. The teenagers are smiling right now. It's like, I don't know if I should entertain that boy. And then just listen to your heart, right? Oh, you better not listen to that heart. You know why? That heart of yours, according to the Bible, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why the psalmist says in chapter 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, about the heart of men. When he was rebuking the Pharisees, he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil. Of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. I tell you, man is desperately wicked. The heart of man is wicked. Romans 3:10 says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are devoid of righteousness outside of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Take for example, watch this. Take for example your tongue. Perfect example. Your tongue. One reason why you have to watch that tongue is because whatever that tongue speaks is a reflection of the heart. Amen? If you have a sailor's mouth, I don't apologize to those that are in the Navy because it's true, right? If you have a sailor's mouth, you cannot convince me that you do not have a sailor's mind. If you have a sailor's mind, I guarantee you, you have a filthy heart. And the truth is, you cannot allow that kind of language and expect a clean personality. People say, well, I just talk like this because of the people that I work with. I just cuss a lot because everyone around me at work cusses. Everybody cusses, so I cuss too. You know, I talk about things that are not supposed to be spoken of just because everybody talks like that. But I'm still a Christian. I'm still a holy life. I'm still not sinning. Oh, that's a hard argument, my friend. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The way you speak, the language that you use, the words, the choice of words that you use, speaks about what is inside of your heart. There is a connection between this and this. You cannot say, no, this is just me talking. My heart is really clean. Oh no. Your heart is manifested by your mouth, by your tongue. Amen? as a grown man, would you be upset if another man talks to you like a dog or like a child? Oh yeah, you know, there are men in this congregation today, and you know, one of the things that annoys me is our men, grown men, and I've seen ladies too, actually. Sadly, you know, ladies too. I've seen people talk down to others in a very demeaning way, and they, for me, I liken them to like a big, they bark like a big German shepherd. You know what I tell, when I tell people like that, I tell them, if you're gonna bark at me like a big German shepherd, you better have the bite of a German shepherd and not that of a chihuahua. Amen. But our society today, you know, the characteristic, I'm not even the grown-up world. You go to high school. You talk to high schoolers. Let me bring you back down. Junior high schoolers. You know the kind of language they use, the kind of words, the choice of words, how they talk? Every sentence has a cuss word. Their tone of voice is as if they're up here and they're talking down to a little dog. And they're talking to grown-ups. Amen? That's the kind of society we live in today. And if you are a Christian, I hope that you do not talk like that. James says in chapter 3, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Jesus Christ said, do unto others which you would want them to do unto you. If you want people to talk to you respectfully, talk to them respectfully. You know, in the criminal underworld, in the world of gangsters, if you talk to a man in a very demeaning way, you know what would happen? You're either get into a fight, that's the least thing that can happen, or you'll get killed for talking down to somebody and not being respectful. Amen? So much more for us as Christians. What did Paul say? Let your mouth, let your tongue be seasoned with grace. Amen? Seasoned with grace. For me, it annoys me when I hear a Christian who's supposed to be a Christian. They talk to you, and they're talking to you as if you're a dog. And they say, well, it's because I was in the Navy. But that's an excuse. You talk to people like that because you were in the Navy? You are a Christian. You're a Christian. Amen? Verse 20 now. Verse 20, we're looking at Samuel's call for repentance. Verse 20 says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then ye should go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Well, Samuel calls the nation of Israel unto repentance. He says twice, turn not aside. He says, turn ye not aside. Now, the road to repentance is bidirectional. As you turn away from your sin, you must turn to God. Repentance, true repentance, is bidirectional. There's that part of you turning away from your sin, but there's also that part of you turning unto God. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. What is true repentance? True repentance is this, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance. But notice what he says. What is repentance? He says repentance is from dead works and of faith toward God. That's what true repentance is. To repent means not only that you are turning away from your sin, but you are turning unto God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When God saved you from sin, learn this. You would have to substitute it with something good. If God has freed you from a life of alcoholism, I tell you, you better stay busy doing something good. Otherwise, that boredom will tempt you right back into it. And you listen to the testimony of those of Christians who struggled with smoking. Do you think they just suddenly cold turkey dropped dead? They dropped quit? Quit of smoking? Oh no. You talk to every heavy smoker, you know what they'll tell you? When they gave up smoking, they had to do what? To chew gum, right? To chew something to replace that thing that they got rid of. Now I will argue this. When God saved you from sin, you are no longer doing those things, I hope. Christianity does not stop there. As a matter of fact, if you do not replace those things that you used to do, that you were not supposed to be doing, with good things, I tell you, you will revert back to those bad things. You've got to replace those evil things in your life with good things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, oh, look at this, I want you to see this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. So if you were a thief, what you used to do is you used to steal. When you become a Christian, you gotta quit stealing, right? But notice what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 28. He didn't just say you have to stop stealing. You know what it says? Look at verse 28. Replace it by what? Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what Paul is saying? When you stop committing this sin, you can't just stop there. You can have to replace it by doing something good. Amen? People would go through withdrawals, will reverberate back into the same sin that they're struggling with. And they're asking, why? How can I overcome this sin? I'll tell you how you can overcome that sin. Replace it with something good. Amen? I'll give you a testimony. I'll give you a little insight into the personality of your pastor. My mom's here, right? So she knows. She can attest to this. I have I had a bad temper. I'd get into fistfights. If you make me mad, I will fight you. I will throw stones at you. I will get a butcher knife and chase you for calling me an owl. Third grade. That was third grade. There was a guy who was a fourth grader, because I had big eyes when I was a kid, you know, my eyes. I was so skinny with big eyes. Kind of like Zifron. You look at Zifron, that's what I look like. I had this fourth grader. He kept calling me owl. Owl, you're an owl, you're an owl, you're an owl. I was so mad. I chased that fourth grader, but I couldn't run because I was so skinny. I picked up a big rock. I threw it at him. I missed, and I hit a kindergarten. Right? So the security guard at the school started looking after, trying to look for me, take me to the principal's office. I ran away. I left the school. Went home. My mom was at work at that time. I went home, and I took a butcher knife. A butcher knife, you know, the one that you use for chopping up meat. Took the butcher knife, hid it behind my low back, went back to school and hunted for that fourth grader. Security guard that had been looking for me sees me, right? He says, "What are you hiding in on your low back?" Gets a hold of that butcher knife, takes me to the principal office, and yes, I was in big trouble. Amen? Sixth grade comes along. This time it was a girl. It was a girl. She said, "You're an owl, you're an owl, quago, quago, you're an owl," right? She kept calling me names. At first, the entire day, I was trying to move away from her, trying to avoid her. But she came close to my face and she kept calling me, "You're an owl, you're an owl." You know what came out of me? Her face blew up. She went away crying, stopped calling me owl. And then I found out that her dad had just been released from prison for murder. Her dad was an ex-convict, just got released from prison for murder. So I had that kind of problem growing up. You know, bad temper. Not aggressive. I would get into fist fights. I fought every guy in my elementary school except for my cousin. Every guy. I'm not exaggerating, I really did. My mom's here, she knows. I would come home with ripped up shirts, dirty clothes, whatever. The reason why I'm bringing that up, I'm sharing you with you my childhood is, if God didn't save me, and if I hadn't replaced that anger, that hot temper, with good things after I got saved, I would probably be in jail today. I'd probably still be in prison for murdering somebody. Amen? Now that same nature is still in here. Amen? And so that same nature that you have in you, if you're struggling with sin, it's still in there. But I tell you how you overcome it. You replace it with good things. You replace it with Bible reading. You replace it by singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. You replace it by kindness. You replace it by loving people. You replace it by learning to forgive people. You can't just overcome it by stopping yourself from doing it. You've got to replace it with good things. Verse 23, to close. Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Samuel says, "God forbid that I should sin Now, Samuel may have lived a righteous life. We've seen in verses 2 to 5. Remember, they had nothing to accuse him with. But notice how he considered the lack of a prayer life a sin. Samuel, an almost perfect man, an almost perfect servant of God, considered the lack of a prayer life a sin. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know what he says that? James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We may not be guilty of a sin of commission, but how many of you are guilty of a sin of omission? Yeah, as a Christian, we are commanded to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 1:16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Amen? You may be feeling like, oh, I haven't really done anything like you've done, Pastor. I'm not crazy like you. I'm not violent like you. I haven't done any of those things that you've done. And that's half of the story, to tell you. But the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You may have not committed, but have you omitted? Amen? Samuel says, I will show you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 to close, the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Matthew 7:14, Jesus Christ himself said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. People say that all religions lead to God. People say that it does not matter what or who you believe in, as long as you have faith in something or someone. James says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And you know where the devil will end. Samuel tells the nation of Israel, I will teach you the good and the right way. You know who the true way is? The way? His name is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yes, that statement is politically incorrect. And that statement is prejudice. But that is what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way. Let me read to you a poem to close by Tony Wager. Tony Wager wrote this poem entitled A Poem About the Way to Christ. Listen to this. The road to hell is paved with gold. It glitters and it shines. Along its length are tables laid with fancy food and wines. Sunlit, gay and happy, it's a party in a crowd. Feasting on the journey, all excesses are allowed. The road to God is rugged. It's a narrow, rutted track. Oftentimes it's lonely when the neighbors turn their back. Sometimes there is silence and we're not sure of the way. Take time to get the map out, read the Bible, kneel and pray. Amen? There is one way, and it is a narrow way. His name is Jesus Christ. Have you received him? Would you like to receive him today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet? If you are not saved today, That means you do not know for sure that heaven will be your home. Would you lift up your voice and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know the wickedness of my heart. And I recognize that there is only one way for me to be righteous. Maybe you're not saved today. I give you this chance to meet the one that can cleanse you. To meet the one that has forgiven you. To meet the one that has washed you thoroughly. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you are saved today by testimony, would you raise up your hand and say, Pastor, I know I am saved. I know I am heaven bound. I know that my sins have been forgiven. Thank you for raising up your hand as a testimony. You may put them down. Maybe you're not able to raise your hands. I thank you for your honesty. God sees the heart. God knows your heart. If you are not truly saved, I'm not asking if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm asking, have you been saved? Are you saved? You're not able to raise up your hand. Would you raise up your hand and say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? No one's looking. Thank you. There's a hand that's been raised. Now here comes an opportunity to make that decision today. Here comes an opportunity. You raised up your hand. Why don't you slip down the aisle? There's no one looking. Or talk to me afterwards. But if God's calling you, is telling you, slip down the aisle and come to this old-fashioned altar and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you do that right now? Come on. God's knocking the door of your heart. It's not me that's calling you. It's not this church that's calling you. It's His Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. It's Him. It's between you and Him. What about you, Christian? Is there a sin in your life? Is there a sin that you've been hiding? And you think there is no consequence? How about you get that sin right with God right now? Right now. God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Roger, can you close us in prayer? Brother Roger, please.
Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for touching hearts and minds today with your word. Thank you again, Lord, for your invitation, Lord, and thank you for that strong hand, Lord, that we know that we're saved and that we know where we're going. We thank you so much for this. We're once sinners, now we're saved together with your grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We thank you so much for this. Thank you for your word. Thank you again for this church that preaches and teaches your word about God. Thank you for our pastor being with him. Just be here to protect your kids around him, Lord, that Satan will not work on him at all, Lord. That you know, we know that he preaches your word. And he probably is one of the Satan's most targets, Lord. And we just pray that you just take him away. Take him away from all that. that we thank you so much for your shed blood and your salvation. Thank you, God. We love you. Thank you. You're an awesome God. Be with us today and bring us back tonight to your word. Thank you for loving us. And thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name, I pray.